Good morning, everyone. We're looking this morning at Lesson 13 from our book, Path to Shiva. It's entitled, How Can We See God? Saivism teaches us that God Shiva is knowable and we can experience Him right here and now. It is not just a matter of faith. Satguru Yogaswami declared, see God in everything. You are in God. God is within you. God is in everyone. See Him there. It takes much meditation to find God Shiva in all things, through all things. Gurudeva taught, He is there as the soul of each soul. You can open your inner eye and see Him in others. See Him in the world as the world. Perhaps the easiest place to start seeing God is in great religious teachers. We feel a spiritual aura about them that is uplifting. We see a light in their eyes that we do not see in others. The mere sound of their words encourages us to live a more spiritual life. Another way to see God is to look deeply into the eyes of another person. Look beyond the personality. Go deeper than his or her intellect and see the pure life energy which is God. This practice does not stop with people, but can also include seeing the life energy in trees, birds, and animals. Doing this, you discover that God is our life. God is the life in all beings. Becoming aware of this life energy in all that lives is becoming aware of God's presence. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad explains, He who knows God as the life of life, the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, the mind of the mind, he indeed comprehends fully the cause of all causes. A third place to look for God is in the Hindu temple. In powerful temples, you can sense the deity's presence in the enshrined murti and even catch a glimpse of his divine form during the puja. This is done with your third eye, your inner eye of divine sight. Many people, not just saints and sages, have seen God in such mystical visions. It's an interesting idea that the divine is within everyone. When I meet with Hindu families, you can tell the adults always have that perspective. You know, they're greeting each other, greeting me, and definitely with the idea that the divine is within each of us. And generally, the kids, even the older kids, have this same attitude, but sometimes you find older kids who don't have it. You can tell. If they're doing namaskar, they're doing namaskar one fleshy being to another fleshy being. You know, there's no sense of divinity in their greeting. Well, sometimes that idea just doesn't get passed on from one generation to the next, but usually it is. There's an interesting way to apply this idea, and it's to apply it to everyone. In other words, there's a tendency in human nature to categorize people into those are good people, those are people with divinity within them, and then there's these other people. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Because then we start gossiping about the other people or criticizing the other people because we don't see the divine in them. Therefore, the challenge is we need to see the divine even in people we tend to criticize. So this is Yogaswami's quote on that. See everyone as God. Don't say, this man is a robber, that one is a womanizer, the man over there a drunkard. This man is God, that man is God. God is within everyone. The seed is there. See that and ignore the rest. Well, that's a very important Hindu point of view, that even in the terrorist, even in the criminal, the seed of divinity is there. And the Hindu approach to that is a multi-lifetime approach to try and strengthen that seed, to have more of that divinity present and less of the troublesomeness of the nature present. We don't give up on the person. we try and encourage the person to improve, even if they're really a negative person. They are supposed to improve over many lifetimes, and that divinity is supposed to grow. That's the Hindu perspective. We have a nice verse in the Tirumandaram, and it uses the Tamil word uyir. Uyir means both soul and life. And the related word is uyir kuyir. That's two uyirs back to back. And you can translate that as God who is the soul of the soul, or God who is the life of the life. In other words, the idea here, God is the soul of the soul. In English, it takes a lot of words, but in Tamil, it's one word. God as the soul of the soul is uyir kuyir. So there's lots of great words like that in the Tamil lexicon. So I will not attempt to read the Tamil of this verse. It's a little hard, some of it. But the first line is on uyir kuyir. Being the life of life is splendorous jnana worship. So that's being uyir kuyir. A jnani is someone who is the life of life. Beholding the light of life is great yoga worship. So in yoga, we're not the life of life. We're close to that, but this life is manifesting as inner light. So we're perceiving the life of life one step down as inner light in the stage of yoga. Then we come down one more stage. Giving life by invocation is external worship. That's the idea that doing puja, you know, we're giving life. We're bringing life into the murti. That's the idea. That gesture means bringing. We're inviting the deity to come into the murti. So we're dealing with life in that sense, bringing it into the murti. Then there's the last line, which is interesting. Started out, it sounded very neutral. Expressing adoration is charya. Sounds good. Expressing adoration is charya, very general. That's the translation by B. Natarajan, which we got back when, in mid-70s, I guess, quite a while ago. Then a few years ago, a new edition of Tirumandaram came out by the Babaji Kriya Yoga Sangham, and that verse was translated, love that shuts anger is the worship of Shiva. So our original translation didn't even have the word anger in it. So B. Natarajan was fudging there for some reason. But the Tamil word is seyir, which means anger or rage, and you're supposed to shut it out. Shutting out seyir. One of our translators, Savaratnam Shivacharya, when he translates, it's more of a bhasya, it's more of a commentary than a translation, so he puts a lot of extra words in there. His translation is, the worship of Shiva pertaining to the Charya path is to be with pure and spontaneous love, which wards off anger, lust, and other such vices, and which renders fitness to the devotees to do services without expecting any benefit or reward. So he got everything in there. We have revised our translation. It now reads, adoration that displaces anger is charya worship. That's a nice way of saying it. We bring forth devotion to the point where it moves the anger out. Anger is there, and we bring in the devotion, it displaces the anger. So we're not just calming down the emotion, this or that, we're actually moving it out or displacing it by bringing in devotion. One of the reasons anger is present is the inability to accept what is as what should be occurring. We're rejecting what's happening. We're saying this shouldn't be. This, here I am working very hard and what I was working on didn't work out. That shouldn't be. These people are mistreating me when there's no reason for them to be mistreating me. It shouldn't be. I have this big problem in my life. Why should I have this problem? I've been a good person. It shouldn't be. Well, we're not accepting what's occurring to us. And that gets us disturbed, which can lead to anger, inability to accept. There's a simple phrase from Chalapaswami in our lineage. He says, Oru polapum illai. Even one thing isn't wrong. That's a simple way of saying we should be accepting everything that happens because nothing's wrong. Well, why isn't it wrong? Because we've attracted it to us. It's in our karma, or we've attracted it to us as a family, or we've attracted it to us as a nation, or we've attracted it to us as a world because of what we've done in the past. Each of us is a big magnet, as I've often said, and we attract these experiences to us. What seems to be motivated externally is actually coming from us. Well, there's a nice writing on that in Dancing with Shiva, talking about it in terms of dance. All movement is Shiva's dance. When we fight this movement and think it should be other than it is, we are reluctantly dancing with Shiva. We are stubbornly resisting, holding ourselves apart, criticizing the natural processes and movements around us. It is by understanding the eternal truths that we bring all areas of our mind into the knowledge of how to accept what is and not wish it to be otherwise. Isn't that nicely said? How to accept what is and not wish it to be otherwise. Once this happens, we begin to consciously dance with Shiva, to move with the sacred flow that surrounds us, to accept praise and blame, joy and sorrow, prosperity and adversity and equanimity, the fruit of understanding. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.